Welcome. I'm your host, Andrea Maximo, and you are listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Electric Feminine. I am your host, Andrea Maximo, and today we have Aja Faya, and she is gloriously amazing. I'm looking at her right now on the screen, and I'm telling you, this energy is radiating. Like, I can feel it in my body. I'm like so excited to speak with this queen. So I found Aja on TikTok, which I was just telling her right before we started, is an amazing resource to me for numerous reasons, more so than Instagram ever was or Facebook. But first and foremost, dearest to me, is that it has allowed me to find other Black women, Indigenous women, Latinx women, Asian women that are working with women on womb healing and sensuality and all this divine feminine work. And this is like exciting to see these spaces. So I had to have Aja on because I saw a video of hers that really deeply moved me. And I know you have several of these, but you'll probably know about. And there was a woman, she was sobbing and you were kind of holding on to her.
Yes.
Right? Woo! And I was just like, what is happening here? This is amazing. Yeah. And what struck me though, you know what? Let me stop. I'm going to tell them who you are before I just start going on and on about you. You tell them who you are.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I am Aja Faya from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A lot of people are really shocked to know that I'm from North Carolina, especially little Winston-Salem. But I also am a shaman, a healer, a lover of beautiful souls that desire a safe space to come in out of the storm of life. And I provide that for people. So I just, this is my life's work, just being available to be that space for people. I'm very confident of that, and specifically people and women of color. Mm-hmm. Because that space is so often not found in our communities. And so if we can create one more space for us to be able to come out of life for a moment to just be held in a container of love, that's what I do. And I love it.
Oh, I got goosebumps. You got me emotional. That was just her bio. Okay. So many things I want to jump on with what you said. Well, welcome once again. You say you're shaman, healer. Are there specific things that you are working on with people, or is it a myriad of things? Can you give us an idea of what you're healing?
So I work with people from age 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. 100. And you know, I put that 100 in there. Sorry.
I love it.
Yeah, so I I'm very versatile in my healing, but the majority of my clientele does consist of women of color, mm-hmm. Black and brown women. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been called to. And but I allow and have everyone mm-hmm. is welcome. However, I found that when I went for healing in Peru, mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot of me there. Even in this indigenous place, there where it was flooded with our friends and not us, and women are dying in our community at alarming rates from issues that can just be handled with mm-hmm. plant medicines, or just if we took a different route.
Can you give me an example of some of those like things in particular that you think are causing the most, you know, alarm? Well,
I think, you know, womb issues for one in women, specifically with women of color. Like I said, about 94% of my population are women between the ages of 25 to mm-hmm. 50. And out of all of those women, I'm seeing a great number with endometriosis, fibroid cysts, painful cycles. And so there's a lot of womb trauma that happens mm-hmm. that you know, causes that energy to be stuck there. And so, and we know that fibroids is about 81% of the population of African American women are plagued with that. And we just don't have conversations enough around this to, because there's a lot of shame attached to it. There's a lot of shame attached to us having a cycle or, you know, having our moon cycle and really embracing that. So I feel that women, we just because we don't know and we're not having those conversations and we're in traditional medicine, and not to take anything away from traditional medicine, but we're never offered the opportunity to experience other modalities,
right,
or specifically in our community is looked down upon somewhat to try a different modality. So the modality that I teach and promote teaches you to trust yourself first. And that's something that we often find difficult. So
for sure, for sure. I think, you know, what stood out to me about what you just said too is, I feel like more so in the last several years, I've been seeing in a beautiful way, very powerful way, more Black and Brown people seeking therapies.
Yes. Okay?
Where, you know, I think it's pretty well known within the community that, you know, that wasn't something you typically did. You don't take your business out, go talk to anybody about it, right? You handle it at home. You know what I mean? And then it goes, it doesn't go, Black community, Latino community, it's the same
thing.
Yes. My mother was like, I'm not sick. I don't want to go to the doctor. I'm like, but to get a checkup. She's like, check what?
Yes.
She's like, the minute you go, you're going to get sick. And that was her whole mentality, right? The minute you go, they'll find something wrong. And then there's an issue. So, you know, with those types of energies, you know, your health isn't in the forefront, I think. And the truth is, though, is that the healing is necessary. And, you know, one of my just observations when I would, you know, just consider looking at our lineage and, you know, the traumas that Black and Brown people went through in this country, I kept thinking one day it came to me. I said, I was like, so let me get this straight. Hundreds of years of violence, okay, and traumatizing a group of people mentally, physically, spiritually, okay, emotionally. And you think people just get over that? But so like you suddenly just switch gears and go, okay, now you are free people, just deal with everything that you've just been right. through and just, you know, go out in the world and live, okay? But not really, because now we're still gonna traumatize you anyway. Anyway, I digress, but this, you know, I'm just sitting here, but yet they'll say, you know, sexual abuse or, you know, alcoholism, all those things can be carried through generations. You know, they'll say that can be generational trauma. So I started thinking, but if those things could be carried through, then what on earth was carried through, you know, with all that was endured for those hundreds of years? And then how were people meant to deal with that? Right?
Yeah.
How did they come through with those traumas? How do they come through with the mindset switch? So all these things. So now people, we had to do it on our own. I understand that. But I still think there was a lot that wasn't dealt with. And this is where I think you come in. Yourself coming in, because the video I saw, you know, was a woman being very vulnerable, Black woman being very vulnerable. And again, that is something I don't think is invited often. It's all good. Natural things happen. You know, I think that's something else that we are learning to do is to be vulnerable publicly like that, or to allow our, you know, the defenses down. So I wanted to, I say all that to bring it to this video. Could you talk a little bit about what was happening in the video with this particular person? And I don't know how much you can share, or if you have another instance of someone else that you can anonymously share, you know, what was the process and what happened and how you work with them?
I work with so many women, and I think the video that you're referencing is this young lady is Hispanic, and there was a language barrier. Mm. So I don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to do that. Actually, one of my clients is teaching me, which is beautiful, but there was a language barrier. And so I always tell everyone that the thing that supersedes everything is love. Mm-hmm. When you're given that safe space, She came in. I did have a interpreter, but she came in and she had lost her babies. Mm-hmm. And so we also have to look at culturally what this means. Like, what does this bring shame on the family? Is something wrong with her? She's mm-hmm. because she's lost these babies back to back. So she's carrying a lot. It's not just, oh, I don't have my babies anymore. It's mm-hmm. like my father doesn't believe in me anymore. Oh, you know, wow. So it's a lot of like, so culturally I'm learning. My clients are teaching me so much. Mm-hmm. When I originally signed up for this, in Peru, I just thought, yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, you know, be able to help a lot of people. But they have really blessed my life with every person that comes. I'm mm-hmm. able to really mold and grow even more with them. And so she lost her children very early, like pregnancy, during pregnancy, mm-hmm. she lost them. And so I have this beautiful modality where I can, you know, bring closure to the loss of a loved one. And mm-hmm. so she was able to go through that, but it was quite painful. And like I said, the language was not mm-hmm. there. So all we had was love. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, can you just hold me? Like, just, mm-hmm. you know, because I haven't been held. I haven't been able to really grieve this way. And that's mm-hmm. another thing about Black and Brown women. We usually are the cornerstones of our family. And when mm-hmm. things happen, we are expected to continue to move on. And we don't get that space to just really shed and cry and be held. And some of us don't even know how to be held because it's just been conditioned in our lives right. that this is the way that we operate. And so I find that I'm, you know, running into a lot of women that are still grieving. Mm-hmm. And it may not even just be the loss of an actual life, but it could be the loss of a marriage. It could be the loss mm-hmm. of a home, whatever the case may be. But we've not been able just to stop and breathe and say, oh my gosh, like this happened. Mm-hmm. And so that gives closure. And it also brings about this space of like, I can't allow myself to actually, you know, empty all of this out. I don't have to carry this. Right. And that has been beautiful to watch for me, but that's specifically what happened in that video. She just needed a safe space.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I'm hoping, I should have checked ahead of time if we could do it, but I'd like to add that link. You will have links in the notes, everyone, where you will be able to find Aja to her TikToks and, you know, all her other social media and her anyway she's providing for us to, for you to find her. But if I can link that particular video, I will, because it really just moved me so much, and it was such a simple act of just you holding her and her allowing herself to let those emotions out wholeheartedly. Yes. And I know that's, it's not accessible to everybody. It's not easy for everyone. And, you know, like I was saying before, I think, you know, as a community, people have endured a lot, and there's expectations about how we endure trauma, how we are expected to navigate through those things. And, you know, the whole trope about the strong Black woman and yes. how detrimental that's actually been.
Yeah.
You know, it's not helpful, but I wanted to ask you about, what do you see, like, big picture? Okay. Cause I was just discussing this with a client earlier about the ripple effect. Okay. If we mm-hmm. looked at the massiveness of what it is, you know, all the people that need help or could use you. You know, obviously you can't get to everyone, but what do you think from your work, your perspective, what is your vision for how you could see it affecting?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I am. So just to give you a little backstory, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. In 2017, I had a rare pancreatic cancer and I also had breast cancer. It was at that time that I decided to leave traditional medicine, and I went on a quest to find me, really. I tell people cancer healed me. It was through this diagnosis that I really found myself and I trusted myself. And so I ended up in the jungle of Peru and I learned how to, you know, make my medicine and make a specific medicine. And that medicine takes you on a soul level. And when I took the medicine, I was told at that time that I have been placed here to raise the wellness consciousness of women and men and babies and granddaddies and grandmamas mm-hmm. and aunties of color. And I was so excited about it, but I just didn't know how. But when I came back, it's just like my life just began to unfold. And so where I am now with this work that I do, I understand that it is not a singular work. I understand that it is a collective effort that will help to raise the consciousness of our community. Mm-hmm. And so as we do this together, I have, of course, healers that have come to me and said, show me what you're doing. And so when they experience me, I'm just like, it's just love. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's people want to make it something like really grand, but it's just that. It's that simple. We take, you know, we try to take the simple things and make them like complicated. It's just with me, mm-hmm. it's just love, acceptance. And so these students come from all over and what I do is I send them back out because I know that I'm only one person, but I am many when I place my seeds within people and they're right. willingly watering them with their own life. And they're able to go out and do the same thing. So I've created a, if you will, platform for them, mm-hmm. not only to use my TikTok, but also to use my website. Their pictures are there. They are, you know, wherever I can get them to come, they come. Yeah. And so I see that this started with just me, but there are many of me that leave from out of me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they are strategically placed throughout our world to help mm-hmm. with this feat of raising the wellness consciousness. And so I had to do a lot of work on my heart. And I do yeah. it every day. Look, I do yeah. it every day, every day. Yeah. So that is my goal. And my hope is to really help people to confidently walk in their gifts that they can mm-hmm. go to and do the same work that I do with love and compassion, acceptance, and to help people feel safe and, you know, held mm-hmm. something that our world does not, you know, support often. So
no, I'm just fascinated. So I did not know this part of the story. Like you just like, I thought I had done my research. She just went and she's like, wait a second, let me just drop a bomb on you. I was like, what? Wait a second. That's huge.
Yeah.
So you weren't healing before the diagnosis then?
No,
so it was the diagnosis that led you to all of this.
Yeah. So I actually have been working with individuals, specifically women, for over 24 years. I was actually a clergy for the state of North Carolina, a volunteer clergy, and I would help women that were incarcerated. I would create positions for them when they came out of prison. And just so this has been my work all my life. But with everything, there comes elevation. And even with elevation, there comes a trial. And the trial has to do with you really trusting what's already in you. And as I went through my last surgery, and I was just like, this is just too much, because they were operating on me regularly. Mm-hmm. And I said, I can't do this anymore. This is no way to live. And I told my husband, I said, we're leaving traditional medicine and we're just going, mm-hmm. I know nothing about herbal medicine. I know nothing about nothing. And well, I knew I just needed something to unlock what was already in me.
Right. And I was going to say, no, this is not, yeah. I want people to understand this woman is gifted. Okay. She was led to this path. It wasn't like, let yes. me just go learn some medicine in the jungle.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, it was something that was definitely already in me. And I'm grateful to my yeah. ancestors for the path that they walked, for they were two medicine men and women and healers for in the mountains of North Carolina. But I decided that I would go to the jungle. And when I went to the jungle, that's where my life just changed completely. I came back totally different. The woman that went to the jungle is not the woman that returned. And so that's what I often tell people when they come through my doors. The people that enter will not be the people that that will go back out. And that's 100% of the case. And so,
go ahead. No, I was just going to ask. So, I mean, you go to Peru and I mean, you literally like, where did you even start? Where did you go? Like, how do you start this? I'm going to be very logical. Like, I'm just like straight practical. I'm like, I have a decision to make. I'm leaving traditional medicine. You would start Googling.
No,
I
didn't
go to in Peru. How did you do it?
I didn't even Google. Like, I had a surgery that gave me some fentanyl. And I believe that I had a part of awakening with that fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Because it was such a horrific experience with fentanyl. I had visions, and it was hard, and it was dark, and it was scary. And this was all with one night on, like, I had a fentanyl pump that they had placed me on. And the next morning, it was almost as if my eyes had just been cleared. And I told the doctor, I said, I'm no longer going to take this fentanyl pump. I need you to take it off of me. And they also had a pain ball on me. And I said, I need you to remove the pain ball as well. I said, I want 2 Tylenol, and my husband will get those from the CVS. And they were like, the nurses were like, nobody's going to get you a Tylenol from the CVS. They're not going to let that happen. And I said, this is my body. And that was the first time I ever stood up for myself. You know, just sometimes we see white coats and we think that they know more than we do, but really, like, this is my body. And I don't like the way it made me feel. And so there was a really intense conversation between me and the doctor. And so I had to like say, you know what? No, I'm not doing this anymore. It's too much for me. You all don't seem very sure of what you're doing. And I don't want to keep on having my body open. So those were very clear to me. And so I have a prayer room. I was an ordained preacher. Mm-hmm. and so I come to my prayer room and I was just like, listen, I don't know you really. I just know you. Like, I just know, like, there's scriptures. Like, I didn't have a real transparent conversation. Like, I didn't have a relationship. And that's why relationship is so important to me now, because I think that so often we do things without having a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so the relationship with healing began with myself, you know, the relationship of trusting who I am, the relationship of really speaking to this disease and speaking to my body and, you know, asking the disease questions. And I know people may say that that sounds really crazy, but really it was perfectly sane to me to do that. Because I was just like, okay, it's easy for us to go to Google and say, what is cancer? What is this cancer and how do you cure it and all this stuff? But I really want to know, why are you here? And the answer that came back was because you don't know who you are. And I was just like, well, dog, I mean, you have to take my life out like that just because I know who I was, you know.
He couldn't have tapped me on the shoulder.
Yeah, right. And so the thing is, it was like the type of cancer that this was like 1 in 10 million people have it. And what? So it wasn't not, it was, there was not a lot of research on this type of cancer. So they were just really doing exploratory work on me. And I didn't like that. So I decided to do exploratory work on myself. So I told my husband, I said, if I die by my own hands, at least it will be by me. And I'll know that I love my children. And I know that I love my husband, and that there are things that I'm absolutely in love with doing and like doing. And those are things that doctors don't really take time to really get to know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's going back to relationship. But once I made the decision, I was like an Easter Sunday and I was there. I was getting sicker, by the way. I just want everybody to know that I wasn't getting any better. Mm-hmm. And they had actually given me a prognosis of 12 months. And they said, well, you know, in 12 months, you'll be gone. And I was like, okay. And so it was Easter Sunday. I was home. I was very sick by myself. And so I got an email. I don't know why I was going through my emails, but I got an email. And the email just stated that come to this healing spa. And I was like, well, a healing spa. And so I was like, okay, let me look. And it was like YouTube videos. And so we watch one YouTube video, it gives you another one. And it was on a medicine, plant medicine called ayahuasca. And that's how I ended up in the jungle. I told my husband, I said, we've got to go. And he was like, no, we can't go. And I said, well, if we don't go, I'm going to be gone. And I said, I promise, like, if you let me raise the money, then I'll go, you know, and I'll take you with me. And he was like, okay. I mean, it was not a good time financially for us. And I didn't have all this like knowledge that I have now. But in my mind during that time, it was very grim around here. We had one, you know, downsized to one income, and he was just, you know, it was just a lot of stuff financially. And so I was just like, well, I'm going to raise the money. And I'm a very private person. So I did not, like, nobody knew that I had cancer. Mm-hmm. It was very, until I said, boom, I got, just like I just did you. Yes. Boom, I got cancer. And so my daughter is a filmmaker in LA. And so she came and did this beautiful documentary sort of on my life. And she was pretty amazing with it. And it just went viral. And people from all over the world just started pouring into me. And that's why I feel like healing does not have to, even though it has a price tag on it, anyone that's willing to come is welcome, you know? Yeah. So I go to jungle, have this medicine, changes my life. In this experience, you meet a woman and her name is Mother Aya. And Mother Aya knows all about you. And she says, you know, she tells me all these things, but the biggest thing that she tells me is that you will raise the wellness consciousness of people of color. And I said, okay, yeah, this sounds really dope. Like I'm for it. But I get back home and it's really hard for me to do. It's hard for me to break in those, you know, walls that people don't think I'm a witch, or they think I'm practicing some type of voodoo, hoodoo, hadoo, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, all I want to do is love. And so I just felt like just show up for yourself every single day. Right. And I showed up loving myself, patting myself on the back, girl, you're doing a good job, even when there was no one there. And I remember telling my husband, I'm going to make a healing space downstairs in my house. And he was like, okay, and I said, I'm going to go every morning and I'm going to get off every. So I gave myself these hours. Nobody knew I was here, but I just kept on doing it. I kept on doing it. And eventually, like, people started trickling in and then more people started coming. And then all of a sudden TikTok came, and TikTok just sort of like,
yes, it did.
And it hasn't stopped since. So that's my journey. And that's how, but really it just came from the space that I work in now is just built off of loving myself, really. Wow. And people will be like, well, who taught you how to do this? I said, myself. Like, yes. It was just already in me. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
It does. And I got so much chills, and I'm really, you know, spirit just likes to just snatch my soul sometimes. And it's really, it's not cool when it doesn't, like, on a live recording. Like, why are you going to put this one right in front of me on a day like today? Like, I'm listening to you. I'm not even kidding. And I'm relating so hard to the piece about, I'm just hearing you just trusted.
Yeah.
At some point you had to trust, and your husband trusted you.
Absolutely.
Go into the jungle.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm saying, and you even just saying, I just knew, but you trusted, you had faith, right? And it's something that I have, you know, wavered on back and forth, is the idea that you're being held and you're being guided. You're not alone.
Right.
Even that if part, you don't know the next step, it's that part, trusting that there's actually something there when you step out. Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard you say it and I was like, oh, fine. I always doing me like this, spirit. Yes. Like, okay, just stick this lovely one in front of me. Just like, drive your point home. You know, yeah, that stood out to me, the trust, the faith, the resilience, the determination. Even, you know, I got so emotional just hearing you say, I stood up for myself, you know, taking a stand for yourself in the doctor's presence, because so many of us yes. think we have no power in that arena, that, yes. you know, our body is just like whatever they want to do and put in it is okay. And, you know, so we can't even, we don't, some of us don't even have the courage to tell our hairdresser they did the hair work.
That part. Yes.
You know what I mean? How yes. many of us have left the salon stressed because they're like, what happened? But we don't say anything. So imagine you're not even, you think you're going to have the courage to talk to your doctor and tell them no?
Yes, that you know? Part.
So I'm really hoping people hear you and are inspired by your courage and, yes. you know, your clarity that you had a right to do it the way you wanted to do it. And to refuse things and to vocalize it and communicate your needs. And I'm just like, wow.
Yes. You know, and I think of it like a puzzle piece that it all begins to build upon each other, because even in this arena, like, you know, like being on TikTok and my first video getting like 3.8 million views, I was just like, oh my gosh, everybody's looking at me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I had to still say, but you trust yourself, right? So sometimes we forget and we just have to remind ourselves, like, you know, I trust myself. It happened before. It's going to happen again. Like you said, I'm being divinely guided and I know that the next step is for my highest good. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it.
So good. It's so good. It's so, 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 so good. Okay. So I want to know, and I ask everybody who's a guest on here what this means to them. What does sensuality mean to you?
It means a balance of my energies. Mm. Sensuality means to be able to melt into that feminine when I need her. Mm-hmm. And also, again, know that the masculine, when I have that balance, I'm operating in optimal health and radiance, that I am present with myself. Sensuality means warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beauty and healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it means to me.
I'm so glad you said that, because I asked you that because everything you described from your experience, you know, the jungle, the things that were happening in your body, even the things that were traumatizing, it's all a sensual experience though, right?
Absolutely. So
I want people to understand, you know, when they come to my class, sometimes I think they just think it's only going to feel a certain way. It's always going to feel yeah. good. Or you're always going to feel cute and flirty. Then they yeah. come and they like, they're crying. They're like, what happened? I thought I was gonna come twerk and shake my ass. I was like, listen, we're moving energy.
Yeah. You know?
You're moving energy and you're also being given a certain amount of permission to feel, period.
Period.
Yeah. Anything. So, you know, I think they think they're doing it wrong sometimes, like, oh, I didn't mean to cry. I'm like, no, this is part of it. It's just as sensual an experience as when you're, yes. you know, feeling like a badass. And it's just, it's all of your emotions. And like you said, to me, you know, what I'm teaching them is to embrace it all and dance yes. through it all. Cause all of
absolutely.
It is
absolutely. Yes.
And erotic divine energy is consistent with, you know, it's part of all of it.
All of it. Yeah, absolutely. Right?
It's not just tied to the act of intimacy. So I yes. asked you that and you said healer. And I'm like, yeah, because everything you do to me was a sensual experience, from the hands and the help, the holding,
yes.
and the healing of your hands,
yes.
because your hands have energy and you know that. And
yes.
you needed to be held. And she knew that that energy, that power, that love being transferred from that embrace was what was needed. You gave that to her. Okay.
Yes.
And that's a sensual experience. Her allowing those tears to fall was a sensual experience, you know, not always in the way that we think. Like, to appreciate it. Do you see what I'm saying? Not to say I loved it, but to appreciate, just like the way you're saying cancer was terrible, but I appreciated what it led me to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I really get down with that whole thought process, because mm-hmm. people don't look at healing as that sensual mm-hmm. space. And it really is. And when I have a video on my TikTok that displays me and my husband doing a healing on ourselves, because we do know the importance of keeping our vessels as in tip top shape as possible. And so we were doing this wound pulsing, and it required me to really melt in and move all of the barriers. And that was really hard. And that, and that makes me look more at me and see my stuff and be like, okay. But as I begin to move his energy, the energy that, see, we have to understand that we're balancing each other out and we're healing each other as we go. And when, but a lot of people took it from the context that it was sexual. And it's just like, and so when you say sensuality and healing, people are like, what? Like, how could that be possible?
All the time.
And I'm just like, no, it's very possible, because when you're ready and you, you do have the balance of the energies and you're able to really allow that part of you to be seen and give acceptance to who you are, that, that opens up a whole world of healing for you. And then you do experience emotions of different kinds. So, yes. It goes hand in hand.
But even the working with the plants, that was essential. Like, I heard you and I'm seeing, I'm visualizing you. I'm sure I'm making it much crazier in my head. I turned into a movie. I was like, she's trekking in the jungle. She got a machete.
Okay.
You're like, girl, I went to the market. It wasn't necessary.
No, I did not. It was in the jungle, but no, I didn't go to the market. But yeah.
Okay, I was like, you know, you out there with some indigenous folks that have never been talking to people. I don't know what was going on. So I'm just like, what, you know, I have all kinds of crazy visuals, but it's a sensual experience. The jungle is very sensual.
It
you
is.
You know, you working with plants. And I think the difference, though, is we don't think of healing as sensual because you're being given pills, and there's nothing sensual or hands-on about that, right?
Yeah.
When our grandmothers were preparing, you know, remedies
That's
and things.
Right.
That was a sensual experience because you could feel her love in it as
hands.
Well, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And her hands were working. That was taken away.
Yeah.
So all they see is a bottle with pills or a liquid in it. And that's what we do. And it somehow, you know, makes us feel better, but there's no experience of the healing either too, in a sense too. I think some of that is lost, but I want to ask you with, okay, so if I'm coming to you, if I have an issue, okay, let's say I have, I'm learning to embrace my cycle.
Yeah.
I'm almost at the end of it and now I'm finally accepting it. Just like, I've been on this for so long. My one womb priestess I work with, she was like, girl, you cannot talk about your cycle like that. I'm like, when is this over? I'm gonna throw a party. I've been bleeding since I was 12. We ain't having no more babies. What is the point, you know? So really trying to embrace it, but embrace it from the standpoint, you know, as I'm transitioning into that next stage, I don't know when it will be for me, you know, menopause or what have you, but let's say I'm coming to you and I'm having like clot issues or something like that. How does this whole process start? If somebody wants to find you, what are the steps and then what happens?
Usually people find me if it's not on TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook. Mm-hmm. They usually can just Google me and, secure through my website, a space and time with me. And if you telling me your, sometimes I don't find out what's wrong with them until they come.
Okay.
Which is fine with me. I feel like the less I know, the better I allow spirit to work. And so, if there are certain things that happens with the body that I can automatically intuitively say, okay, this is really what the problem is. This is, it's always linked to something else energetically. At least that's what I believe. And so, you mentioned clotting, not being able to clot blood or being able to clot too much blood or too many, fragments, coming from your body, that speaks so much. The cycle speaks so much about what a person is going through in their life. People who have erratic cycles usually have erratic lives. The body is just trying to tell you, we got to get in alignment. Your cycle is not meant to be hurtful or painful, but you got to think about what you're putting your body through and what you're putting your spirit through and your mind. And so clotting means, where are you stopping yourself? Where do you desire to go, and you're preventing yourself. So self-sabotage, I could pull a million things from that.
Sure.
But it's really based on the energy of the person. So I'm doing a lot of like reading of the person's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know how I do that.
I just do it.
Yeah, I'm just able to feel and see. And sometimes I audibly hear conversations that not only you have with yourself, but you also have with people. Sometimes I'm able to see you physically, be physical with a person, because someone will come and they'll be like, maybe like I'm the victim. So they might come in as I'm the victim. I'm getting like harassed and all this. And so it's all about changing the perspective, changing the lens in which you look at it. Like I told you before, everything that I've done in my life has been, you know, something that has been building upon each other. So even with cancer, I had to see, you know, before me, like, really, what is this here for? Like, what's linked to this? And I know I was filled with a lot of depression, a lot of grief, a lot of like disappointments. And so I'm looking at other people and I'm able to like literally see, like, you're coming to me for one issue, but I really see something totally different.
Wow.
And I tell them, like, literally only agree with what resonates with you. And I need you to, before you even speak, I just need you to just listen to that. And check within and see if you feel it anywhere in your body, or see if it comes up. Like some people will be like, okay, I have a good relationship with my mom. And then all of a sudden, when we look at it in a different way, they see, oh, well, she's very manipulative. Or if she's manipulative, then where am I life? Because you are just your mother. So I don't want you to just come blame your mother. I want you to really own, you know, because that's truth. Truth is what also ushers us into complete sustainable healing, I believe. And so there been some truths that I had to come with that were very difficult for me to even voice out my mouth to myself, let alone somebody else. And so when people come, or if you were to come and that would be an issue, we would definitely do some work around that. I'm looking at the energetic body though first, and I'm looking about what you're not saying that your body is saying. So we do a health screening and everything just to see what the body is doing. So if somebody's coming with blood pressure, stomach issues, not being able to, diverticulitis is a huge one. And I really feel like it's anxiety in the stomach, but I mean, I'm not a doctor, so hey, how do I know? But I'm looking at the energy, that's right. And it's through this energy that I'm able to really, and I really, I'm in a zone when I'm doing this. So I'm not like, just be like, okay. No, I'm really in a deep zone. This is more spirit led than Aja led. And so just able to connect with your energy body in a way, in a really phenomenal way, that I often sit back at myself and I'm in awe of like, how in the world did you do that? Like, what happened?
Don't ask, just let it be. That's beautiful.
Right.
So powerful. Is it always in person, or do you?
I do Zoom sessions as well.
Okay. Okay.
And more people have been coming in person. I had some individuals come from Israel, which pretty dope. It was pretty dope. Like, what? Yeah. So TikTok really puts you all over the world, just so you know.
It really does. I just had my first client from Israel, funny enough.
Oh, that's like, beautiful. Oh,
you want to go with me? Because I'm like, we need to do a whole goddess thing over there.
Yes. Like, let's go, Asha. Absolutely.
I'm like, we got to go global with this. I love this. So I should, as we come to the end, is there any last thoughts or you know, feelings you want to impart to the women that are listening to this? And it's a lot, it's not just women that listen, but majority of them are listening. It is called the Electric Feminine. Is there anything in particular? And there, I did want to touch on, wait, before you even get to that, hold on, everybody. I think this is important. Can we touch just a little bit on the men that are coming to you? Because I know it's mostly women is what it sounds like, but I did see a video also of yours where you were like, men need this too. And this was also important because, you know, you talked about the balance.
Yeah.
And balance within us, of the masculine and feminine energies, but then also within the world, you know, just between, you know, and I'm speaking in very general terms of gender, you know, men, women, and what have you, but that balance there, because there's a piece of me that feels like I'm drawn to healing women.
Yeah.
And I've had men ask, and I have worked with one, and it was a beautiful experience, but I'm not really trying to put that on my page that now I work with men. Like, this was like a trusted situation. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll try this. And it worked. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to help this person. But, you know, what I feel is that, you know, by me helping these women, that will balance to and help heal the men from these women feeling healed is what I'm hoping. And that there will be other practitioners that will work with them. With you, what are you finding too is like, you know, with the men, how are they coming to you, and what is the significance of them being able to come to you?
Oh, goodness. So the men usually come through the women.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. And the men are also seeing other men, which that's beautiful. And I, like I said before, there is a balance within all of us, not just women, but also men, to have that, that feminine balance as well as that masculine balance. And men of color are not given the opportunity to be vulnerable enough to say, I was hurt, you know, and the language that exists for them. Well, I should say it's non-existent really sometimes, because men are expected to be a certain way. And in my space, you can be whoever you need to be, you know? And I feel like once, like what you just said, being able to help the women be healed also yields them being able to bring their significant other, their brother, their father, their grandfather, whoever, into a healing space. And a lot of times I just tell people, like, if you really want someone to come for healing, continue to heal yourself. That's the best way. You can't just be like, I need you to go see her and I'm going to surprise you. Like, people be like, I'm going to surprise him with you. No, you can't surprise nobody with me, because I am, when they walk through the door, they going to be surprised. Like, they be like, please.
That's the word. That has never worked out. I'm sorry. In the history of let me surprise you. Like, when husbands do that, they're like, I didn't tell my wife. I signed her up. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Don't do that. So it's just like the best way you can do it. The best thing that you can do is to continue to work with you. And that's what I've done with my entire family. And everybody, well, a lot of people are like, what is she really doing with herself? Like, what's happening? Like, she's changing. And then the questions start coming, and then you still continue to heal and love and put love in a space of your family, your community. And then people just start saying, okay, well, I think I want what she has. I don't know what she has, but I want that. And then they ask you questions. And when they ask you questions on an intimate level, that's when you know they're ready for healing. And I still don't offer it to them. I'll just be like, I'm just, you know, loving on myself, you know, washing my face every day. No, I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just, you know, I'm just really accepting who I am, and I love her so much, and I'm so grateful. And I always think about what would I tell my 12-year-old self. I'm so proud of you, because you were so brave and you didn't give up. And you know, and remember that time. So, because a lot of times we look back at our childhood and we're like, oh my gosh, it was the worst, and it was trauma this and trauma that. And I get that. And it did happen, and not to discount anyone, but let's find some bliss in there somewhere. And that's how we help to heal the inner child, is really to encourage and be like, girl, you did a good job. You know that song, girl, you did a good job.
I do. I was just talking about it this morning too. See, I'm telling you, this was crazy. Like, I literally just told my clients, I'm like, good job. And I was just like, yes. Oh my God, you're so funny. I love you. Yes. All right. So now, that was beautiful. Thank you for I now I'm complete, because I can't stand it. I have one more question and I didn't ask. And then I'm like, dang it. So what is your any bits? Last bit of advice, love bombs you want to send out there?
Okay, love bombs. Mm-hmm. Put yourself first, mm-hmm. and everything else will fall into place. There is nothing that is needed outside of you putting yourself first. And that just means accepting who you are fully, loving who you are, being patient, gentle, and kind to yourself. And then all those other things will emanate outwardly, and you will see your world begin to change. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I made it sound too simple, but it really is just that simple. That's the prescription. Beautiful.
I will take it. You made it sound gorgeous and inspiring. So you have an opportunity of a lifetime to have the most special dinner ever with any three people, entities, energies, historical figures, fictional. I don't care who it is. You know them, you don't know them. Who's coming to dinner?
My daddy.
Oh, yes.
And my aunties who were mm-hmm. medicine women and yes. midwives. And those are the three that I hold in my pocket all the time. They are full of wisdom. They are celebrity status to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for their imprint on my life. You know, they did some phenomenal things in this world, and I'm so grateful to carry their mantle. So I would love to have a dinner with them and to sit down and say, did y'all see what I've been doing? And they were like, yes, child, we see you. We're so proud of you, you know. And just to be the one that I was able to help to carry on what my ancestors did not complete. And I'm grateful to hold that flag for them. And so that's what my dinner would look like with them. It'd be so fun, but you know.
Oh my God, you're just the most beautiful soul. Yes, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, I'm picturing it in my head again. I don't know what anybody looks like.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I see this, I see this. So where can, we are going to put it in the notes, but you have TikTok. Well, how else can they find you? What else?
I am The Body Spa on Instagram.
Okay.
And of course, my website is, mm-hmm. should I put that out there? Like www.
If you want. Yeah. People like to write things down. Sometimes they're like, I ain't got time to go to the notes.
Yeah, write this down. www.bodyspa, which is BODISPA, wellnessco.com. And you can find me there, and you can find all of our events and happenings that are taking place as we speak right now.
Fantastic. I love it. Do you have, this is going to be airing sometime in July. Will you be having anything going on in particular, July or August?
Actually, I will be gone the entire summer.
Okay. You can all find her in the fall. Okay.
Find me in the fall, y'all. But yeah, I'll be gone the whole summer just with some plant friends and learning more medicines and sitting down and being still and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Amazing. Aja Fire, you are just amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your light with us. You are beautiful. I will speak to you again very soon. I know this.
Yes, I'm so excited. And Anjua, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast with me, your host, Anjua Maximo. If you're ready to dive into this work of developing your connection to your goddess energy, of removing those obstacles standing in your way, please reach out at info@anjuamaximo.com, or you can check out my courses available and my private coaching at www.anjuamaximo.com. Be good to you, be good to each other.